Okay, so welcome to the Tighty Show. I honestly have no idea where this is going to go, but I know that we have a guest, and that the guest is extremely interesting student of ours that has made all the right choices all the way. And she's one of the youngest guests that we have right now that is probably going the furthest of all the people that we know. And without much ado, let's roll the intro and then let's start talking. So,
hello.
You're just going to be here.
I'm just going to make it like a tree a leaf.
Oh, so you're going to be a prop here.
Yeah,
I'm going to be. So, let's welcome Anna.
Thank you.
It's much easier. It's much easier to just say introduce the guest.
Yes. Don't introduce. Let her introduce herself.
So, this is Anna Kapelica, our student. Anna, say something about yourself, please.
Well, hi everyone, and thank you for having me. I'm Anna, as you've heard. I'm a student in the master's study here at Algebra University, and it's system engineering that I'm studying, and I work as a security engineer at the moment.
Okay, once a security engineer, always a security engineer.
Exactly.
This is one of those things.
Or never again a security engineer.
Okay, depending on the outcomes, but yes. So let's start somewhere. Why did you choose to go into system administration, or to be more precise, into DevOps?
Okay, basically it started from a young age.
Okay.
I'd say around middle school. I knew from the start that I'd want to do cybersecurity. It was just something I was intrigued by from all the hacktivist headlines that appeared. And I wanted to know why they do the things that they do and how they do them exactly. And then I found out about the field of cybersecurity and that there are actually professionals who do things like that legally with permission.
And get paid for it.
Yeah.
So you can do fun things for money,
yeah,
and not getting going to jail.
That's exactly.
That's, yes, okay.
And I found that all interesting, and I met people who were in that field online. I joined some community, and they kind of laid the groundwork for me how to learn this and that, what I should focus on if I want to go into that field. And I was like, okay, this sounds very interesting. I was just browsing to see what else there is except ethical hacking in there. And then I found out about malware analysis and digital forensics, and I was like, okay, this is getting very interesting. And I really want to explore this more. So what do I have to know before stepping into that field? And then I was asking for advice. And then they told me mostly like Linux, Windows, networks, all that stuff that we learned in the undergraduate study. And I was looking at programs that are in Croatia, what I can study. And then I saw, okay, Algebra is offering something that goes along those lines. And I was like, okay, this is it. This is probably going to be my first choice. I had some other colleges as well, because other than my interest for cybersecurity, I was also interested in nuclear physics a lot. And so I had physics alongside of computer engineering for the choice.
Okay.
I can
see some similarities, although it seems like a pretty wide spectrum between nuclear physics and computer security, but okay.
I'm aware. I had very peculiar interests as a kid. And they were all vastly different.
Now okay. We are going to have a chat about those as well.
Sure.
I know parts of that story, but nowhere near enough to get to the conclusion of how you got here. Mm. But maybe we can offer a joke about this. I heard that Microsoft is hiring some nuclear engineers. Maybe that's your end goal.
That would actually
you're working
be the
in Microsoft Asia
thing.
Right now. You're doing security.
I mean, anything's possible at this point, but that would be so ridiculous.
When it comes to Microsoft, nothing would be ridiculous, other than them having fixed their search and their quick launch menu in any version of any operating system that is currently on the market. But that's just me hating on Microsoft. Let's keep over it.
Let's actually go backwards from where you started, because I'm pretty sure that your story starts way before your middle school in terms terms of the way in how you were, let's say, kind of how you stumbled upon the idea of IT and computers and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of the larger story that we had a couple of chats about in the past as well, which I think is very important to tell.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not usually the one to divide things by appearance or how long the hair is or what the color of the skin is or what the gender is.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, I'm going to make an exception because it is important to have the discussion and have it in the open.
Okay.
Of course, it needs to be a productive one.
It's not
about being negative about it, although we could easily go into the negative aspects of why there are so many problems in terms of getting young girls into computers, computer science, IT, STEM, and everything that starts from that. And there were so many different things that happened in the past couple of decades to try to solve that. But I think that you might have something to say about that from your own perspective, because maybe you were lucky in a sense of maybe you started way earlier with some other stuff that you do. I don't know from the top of my head.
Well, basically, my parents are to thank for.
What to blame for?
I'd say thank, because they introduced me to video games from a very, very young age. And I got very invested in them. I played on various consoles, and I was just like fascinated by all of the things. And when you start gaming a lot, you just start to explore the PC that you're gaming on as well. And I would just fiddle around with stuff on my PC and kind of start with that. And then eventually, when you're a kid, you probably do some dumb things and install malware.
Okay.
And when I installed it, I was first scared, like, what is this? What's going on? And I would Google stuff, and then I'd figure out, okay, there's something that's called like an antivirus software. All right, let's see what that can do. And then I just click buttons and see what it's doing and try to figure out what's happening. And then I got a bit fascinated with malware, and I'd purposely install it.
Look at the camera while saying that, please.
I'd purposely install malware.
On your own computer.
Yes, in a very unsafe manner, obviously, to just see what it does. I was just really interested, and then I'd try to sometimes even manually remove it without antivirus software. And I found all of that being fun without even knowing the risks, because, well, children, I guess.
What were the risks? Well, if it's your personal computer, if it's a couple of games and maybe an operating system and a couple of files, it wasn't such a huge risk to take.
True, but at that time I'd feel like, oh no, my PC is gonna go boom or something.
Later on you learned that it wouldn't go boom,
yes.
And then you could just reinstall it.
Exactly.
That's exactly how we started doing some of the things that we do.
And on the other thing, the cynic in me says that sometimes malware is much, much better than what Windows can do it to itself, just by working.
Self-imploding.
So,
if you need a better explanation, look at Windows 11 Start menu.
just one more thing. I want to establish one thing. PC Master Race or consoles?
PC.
Okay. just to get it out in the open.
I'm just playing on PC now.
Because you mentioned consoles, and I know that I am completely the PC guy. He doesn't play games, so
he does.
But when he does it in such a way that it's unhealthy for him. So he shouldn't be put near games. And he has a Switch console, so he's basically a console guy right now. In order to not get too invested into gaming.
Fair enough.
Highly controlled console guy, I would say. Not by myself, actually. I suck at that.
Okay, so now. You started investigating malware, basically.
Mm-hmm.
When was it? So maybe 10 years ago?
I was around 6-7 years old.
Was it before the age of crypto lockers and the malware that actually destroyed your PC?
Obviously, yeah.
Yes.
Or was it the age of the regular viruses?
Because regular viruses.
I must say that I missed the regular viruses.
Yeah, me too.
I just missed the viruses that didn't do anything malicious, just replicated.
Yeah, it's basically those kinds. Like I was on Windows XP, like. Come on. It wasn't that bad.
Okay, Zoomer.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Okay, no age joke.
No, it's an internal joke that we always say. So
yes.
To be offensive.
It's okay. I say okay, Boomer. He says okay, Zoomer. It's fine.
And I'm just here for the ride.
You're just caught in the middle.
I'm here for the ride. So after you started doing this, you went to the middle school.
Mm-hmm.
Middle school was probably a gymnasium.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
General mathematics.
General.
Yeah, just like me.
Yes, I was in the mathematics gymnasium, so I was probably the odd man out.
Yeah, in here at least.
In here at least, okay. And then you chose algebra, and now what? How did you make this step, or how did you decide that you are going to invest the enormous amount of time that is required for the security field?
Since I knew I wanted to do this as a kid, I always had this all or nothing mentality.
Okay.
Let's just say that. I'm very competitive, was always, and I was like, okay, I'm going to do one of these three things that I told myself I want to do in the future. Anything of this. And if none of this happens, then I'm a loser. I'm kidding. It's just the way I was talking to myself as a kid, but I was like, okay, one of these three things gonna happen. I don't care how, I'm gonna do everything in my power to achieve it. And when I'll just be real here. In high school, my grades from first and second year weren't that amazing, especially in math. I kind of sucked at math because I was really uninterested. I carried that disinterest from middle school. And because of that, I thought maybe my place is not in IT. Because of the people that have told me in school, you shouldn't do that. Like, you're such a great student in linguistics. We're sending you to competitions. You're so great at psychology and logic and stuff like that. You should focus on those kinds of sciences or just linguistics in general. But I was like, I don't want to do that. That's not something I see myself in. And my confidence was kind of, you know, wobbly because of the words from other people. And after a while, in third year of high school, suddenly something clicked in my brain. Okay, you know, you have this fear of solving math equations during exams. You just kind of get a brain fart and you don't know what to do. Maybe try to just focus more on it, study more, much more than you do now, and see what happens. Maybe you're not so bad the way you think you are. And I started studying way more in my third year. My grades skyrocketed. It was straight A's all the time. And I continued that pace in my last year of high school. And then I was like, okay, maybe I do have what it takes to step into IT. Maybe I'm not a lost cause in that sense. And I just, you know, wanted to take this chance, this leap of faith, and dive deep into system engineering, because I knew that was what I needed to know to actually really grasp cybersecurity at the end, because I cannot just jump straight into cybersecurity. You gotta know what you're protecting in order to actually be able to do something about the threats that are emerging.
You cannot make an omelet unless you break some eggs.
Exactly.
Do you understand how actually the metaphors that we used in our classes about sports and about training and about competition and about everything, how all of that just applies to everything that you just said?
Yes,
it's
obviously.
Completely like that. It's about training, getting good at it, sucking first at it, of course, then getting better at it, then slowly and slowly getting better at it in smaller and smaller and smaller increments. Law mm-hmm. of diminishing returns is always going to happen. And then at the end of the day, after spending, of course, thousands or tens of thousands of hours, you become good at something. But you got to have that belief into yourself and to not give up, which is what most people do.
Yeah, my ambition and this hope that I had that I could succeed in this field is what has driven me and still drives me today, which is why I really try and give my best to actually get to that point where I can say, okay, I finally have achieved my dream, and I'll probably get another dream after that. Let's be real, it's how it works.
That's good.
But I'm just taking a step-by-step approach because I used to want to do everything all at once.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you can do that without overwhelming yourself and then in the end get disappointed. So I had to clear my head and realize you cannot be the best right away. There's no way that you can be the best. Maybe some people have some talents. I don't know. Probably there are some people who can be considered prodigies. I'm not one. I know that I'm not a genius or a prodigy or something like that in the field of IT. I'm just really trying hard to study regularly and to kind of be better than me who was yesterday.
But there's a question to be asked there. That's an excellent point that you're raising. There is a counterpoint to that,
mm-hmm.
which is that most young people, specifically young people, when they reach that certain point at which they finally start realizing that they want to be good at something, and not everybody does that, or mm-hmm. they don't do it as early as you did. Maybe for some people it happens later in life. The problem is this. I had enormous amount of situations in which students gave up because they were afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if they had somebody next to them, a professor, an assistant, a mentor, somebody they look up to on the internet, whoever it was, doesn't really have to be somebody inside this organization who is way better than them at that.
Mm-hmm.
But they give up because the odds of achieving something great, especially in these sorts of IT security, system engineering, and there are more than a few examples of that in the IT industry, actually, of achieving something great, while there are already so many people who are very good at it, it seems like an insurmountable task. It's mm-hmm. not. It's just the matter of willpower and time and investment.
Exactly.
So how do you keep yourself motivated to do that, and how do you not get scared, is the actual question.
Okay,
I have also one more point, because I don't like what Vedran just said. I don't like the expression of the odds of succeeding. There are no odds. Basically,
I'm not talking in general.
Let me finish. I think that this is the point.
Mm-hmm.
The point is that people think about succeeding as something that is going to happen in odds, by luck.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't happen by luck.
Exactly.
There is no luck included in. Okay, there is some luck included, but what people call luck usually boils down to working so hard or so wide in your field that you suddenly run into somebody who is going to give you a push into in right direction.
And this making smart choices at the correct time.
But you can also blindly go and stumble through the field if you are working enough, and if you are talking with enough people, you are going to, even if blindly stumbling, you are going to stumble upon somebody who is going to push you further.
Mm-hmm.
So the odds are 100% succeeding if you invest enough time. And this is what I don't like about people talking about maths, people talking about physics, computer security, whatever field, that the odds are succeeding. No, there are no odds. You can succeed if you put some effort into it, and if you put enough effort into it, you're going to be in the top 2%, 1% or whatever.
Yeah.
Exactly my point with sports. So I'm actually going around the problem that young people see for themselves, because that problem does not exist.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you treat it like a sport, it's not a matter of odds. It's just a matter of time.
No.
And you can be sure as hell that it's going to work. That's my point.
Now, but to answer your question about it, let's just say that throughout middle school, I've dealt a lot with the fear you've mentioned. I always had this fear of kind of failing, not because I was put under pressure by anyone. It was my own fault. I was pressuring myself, let's just say, to be better because of the competitiveness that I've mentioned. And this fear
that's
was
characteristic of top-notch sportsmen. They are exactly like that.
Yeah.
That's why I use those metaphors so much.
I see.
As long as you can tell that to yourself, you're going to progress.
Yeah. And basically, that fear was kind of stopping me from performing better than I should have. And with time, as you get older, obviously, you kind of learn how to manage those emotions that kind of engulf you sometimes. And I started getting better at it over time, especially when I enrolled in university. And suddenly during math class that we had in university, not in high school anymore, I was really good, way better than I anticipated, to the point that I was even helping out other students and they asked me to tutor them. I was very surprised, honestly. Because I would have never said I would reach this point that I'd be good at the subject that I feared so much when I was younger. Which is stupid to say, to fear a subject.
It's not, it's just so misinformed. It's exactly how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, it was just a shock to me in the end. And now to answer the part of being surrounded around people who know much more than you and how to stay motivated. When I first enrolled, I came with very little knowledge. The only thing that I fiddled with in IT was nothing related to networking, which would take a big part in our courses there. And I was surrounded by people who came from more technical backgrounds, who went into more technical schools or just did a lot on their own, maybe some side jobs, something. And I was there, I was listening to the classes, and I was like, oh my God, I do not know anything. I really do not understand any of this, but okay, it's fine. And then I see other people around me constantly answering questions, participating, and I kind of felt like the odd one out. I'm the only one who has zero clue what's going on. But I didn't take this like a defeat. I was just like, okay, well, I'll have to work a bit more probably than the other ones, but it's fine. We're starting from scratch. It's not like we're going straight into the material. And so I kept working. I tried to be diligent, deliver everything on time, studying on time, practicing whenever I could. And over time, the people who I constantly kept asking questions to help me out with something that I do not understand because I just couldn't figure it out on my own, I ended up being the one explaining things to them. Because at a certain point, they kind of loosened up with the studying. And then I just passed them, I guess. So it's not like if someone starts with a much better knowledge than you, that it means that you cannot get to their level or at least a similar level. You might even go past them at some point. But even if I hadn't gone, which I had some colleagues, I still to this day, they know much more than I do because of the years of experience, knowledge they had, the things they did at jobs that I never even tried doing. I used them, not used them like in a mean way, but I used them as a source of knowledge. And they taught me so much, and I appreciate it. Like there's nothing, this negative feeling that I had towards anyone who'd be better than me. I just see it as an opportunity to actually learn. I'd feel weird if I was the only one who knew everything. That would be kind of, I don't know. Yeah. Like, what am I going to learn now? I don't have anyone to learn from. It's just me, myself, and I, and that's kind of lonely. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's my take on it. I don't see it, even though I am competitive, but in a friendly competitive way. I wouldn't be the type of competitive.
Again, that's called sports.
Sports, yeah. It's not the type of competitiveness where I'd want to step onto someone to gain something. That's horrible. That's not me. That's not the way I work. I love working alongside people and getting to a common goal together where we just kind of use each other's knowledge and, oh, you know that? Okay, let me hear. And I know this, let me share this. This kind of, you know, working together, get to this end goal, which is, I don't know, figuring something out, making something work again, analyzing something together and coming to a cool conclusion. Things like that. That's the way I work and this is why I've seen myself in this field quite well. And I hope it's going to stay this way all the time. I'm pretty sure it will, because I think I really found myself here very well. So yeah, those are my answers.
If nothing else, you can always go back to nuclear physics.
You never know what's going to happen.
Okay, let's hope that intersection of nuclear physics and the security is not going to happen in the near future. Not because of you and your knowledge, but simply because of the existence of the civilization itself. So let's hope not. Let me broaden up, I think, a bit. Let's talk about security, because what was always overwhelming for me is the amount of knowledge, or the thing that I perceived as the amount of knowledge needed for the computer security. And how do you deal with this? Because computer security is a field that basically is unlimited.
Yeah.
Whatever you can take in that field is going to be a part of the computer security problem, because nobody is dealing with security really. They're just slapping it on as an after effect of having to do it.
Yeah, so when I was first researching about security, I had the same kind of problem, just seeing, whoa, there's a lot of stuff. Where am I going to even start, you know? And when you want to get like advice on how to even get into it, it's just a cacophony of all kinds of advice, conflicting advice even. Some people say this, some say this. And then you realize that those influencers, let's call them, are saying all of that just to sell their security boot camps. And
you said it, not me.
It's a very common thing. I've seen it, and it's kind of saddening, honestly, because there will be people who think they can just jump straight into security like that, because that's what those security boot camps offer. And I was kind of disappointed when I realized, okay, one security bootcamp cannot cover everything there is. I'll have to research a lot on my own. And what I've realized is I have to focus on one thing at a time and get good at this one thing at a time. Because there's no way you can get good at everything that is computer security, because there are just so many things, as you've said, to cover, that you have to focus on one, two, three things at max, I guess, and then try to see what you enjoy from this the most. Do you want to do this or that? And then just focus on this, put all your energy into that. And security boot camps do not offer that. That's the problem, and that's what a lot of security influencers are trying to sell, that it's possible. But then a lot of people who have bought those boot camps, when they try to get into them, they realize, okay, this is not what I've paid for in the end.
Yes, this is the just add water thing with the security boot camps, yeah, that offer. You are going to be a specialist in computer security after this many days of...
Yeah.
Or 3+1 offer.
Yes, 3+1. And you can also retake the extended camp for the next 7 days. Yes. The thing that I was more interested in is how do you handle... when you see the how the field broadens, mm-hmm, or when do you see how many different things you need to learn after you have learned some things, mm-hmm, because when you see let's say you're dealing with networking, you're dealing with Windows or whatever, as soon as you go into this field, whatever the field is in the networking, you're going to realize that there is much more. The networking is much bigger on the inside than from the outside. How do you deal with this problem of realizing that you are not going to be able to learn everything inside this field?
I just kind of come to terms with it. Like, it's not like I can... Yeah, I'm just going to be fine with not being able to learn absolutely everything. I'm not like, I don't know, a robot that can just, you know, take in all of the information and it'll be in my head forever, or just take in such a vast amount of information at once. I just realize I'm not the only one. Like, there are so many amazing security professionals out there who also don't know everything, and they're still amazing at what they do. So I'll just try to learn as much as I possibly can, and try to improve on that whenever I can. It will take me much longer because there are emerging threats every single day almost. And I have to just come to terms with it that it's not possible to learn everything at once and all of the new stuff that's constantly coming out. You have to give yourself time. And if you try to force yourself to be something you cannot be, and that's, I don't know, a security master of the entire universe, I don't know how to even define it, you're just going to end up being disappointed and suffer with extreme imposter syndrome. So it's better not to even think about that kind of mentality. I have to know absolutely everything. It's not going to happen.
Can I shorten what you just said in super simple words?
Yes.
Basically, what you're saying is what I've been telling you earlier in some of the classes, and I strictly remember saying these words out loud. It's super important to understand that. You have to approach learning like something that you have to do. Feel comfortable not knowing stuff about whatever the topic is. Admit yourself that and feel comfortable with that.
Yeah.
That's the starting point. And to your point that you just made, you also need to feel comfortable knowing that you're never going to know everything.
Exactly.
That's it.
And that's completely normal.
That's the whole algorithm of learning.
As
long as you're humble enough to understand that, A, you're never going to learn everything, and generally speaking, B, that you need to be aware of the fact that you have to start from something.
Yeah.
Nobody was born with knowledge about everything about networking and virtualization and cloud and storage and whatnot. As long as you're fine with that, everything else is basically the best effort.
Yeah.
And if you approach that, give it time, approach it that way and give it time, miracles will happen.
Exactly.
Let's now switch quickly from interview mode into questions and answers, because I want to answer one question that pops up almost regularly whenever somebody mentions any kind of security and or specifically hacking or computer exploitation in any way or form. How do I become a hacker? And this is one of those things that actually gives me my spine starts to contract, because it
tickles you in the wrong way.
Yes, the problem is that I'm still trying to find out a normal answer to this question that is not going to be condescending, but at the same time is trying to explain to the person who is asking that question that he's going to learn computer security when he knows enough about computer security, so that he just needs to go on learning. And this is the thing that the only answer that I have. What is your take on this?
Stop for a second.
Okay.
I need to interject for a second, because there's something that you don't know and you don't know either.
Okay.
That is relevant to your question. Excellent question, by the way. The amount of comments under our security video from a couple of months ago that are still there, and then the amount of comments that I personally had to delete asking that explicit question.
But this is the reason why I asked the question, because I know that.
There were in the dozens of questions. Sir, please teach me how to hack.
How to hack.
Stuff like that. Completely misunderstood the purpose of the video. So
mm-hmm.
be very careful with your answer.
Okay. I'll try to give almost two types of answers. One being more detailed, as in the path that I've kind of gone with, and one that's kind of, you know, encompasses everything all at once. Basically, to be a hacker, you first have to learn about the stuff that you want to hack. So let's say you want to hack systems like a Windows computer or a Linux machine, whatever. You have to know how it works, how Windows works, how Linux works, how to harden Linux and Windows machines. You have to know everything there is to know about it. And then when you know everything from the inside out, you will be able to find some security holes that you can in the end exploit. And now the question is, well, how do I exploit things, right? Like, okay. One good thing to start is, and a lot of, again, security people like to tell you that you don't need to know programming for security. It's not necessary to know that, but it helps a ton to at least understand it, how code works, and at least to be able to tweak the code. Because there are many tools that you can find on Kali Linux, which is a great Linux distribution for ethical hacking. And it is basically providing you with so many tools off the bat. And if you know how to tweak the code of it, you can adjust it to your needs. And then you can exploit certain machines that maybe the initial tool without the tweaks and stuff you added wouldn't be able to exploit. And now all of this is just me saying it in the shortest way possible what you'd need to do. So basically, you have to learn how the systems you want to hack work. And if you want to do social engineering, you have to be quite good at also reading people and how people work.
Manipulate people.
Basically. Well, people oftentimes think that IT, security, and just hacking in general doesn't require any people skills. That's so ridiculous. You have to know how people work in order to be able to exploit that if you will do, I don't know, some pen testing that involves social engineering, even though that mostly happens in red teaming, not really pen tests. But yes, to learn how to hack, first start with how the things you want to hack work. Focus a bit on, let's just say Python would be okay to start with. It's a great way to start with and to learn how programming works. And when you learn those things, at least the basics, there are many certifications that you can take that I can recommend some. For example, Hack the Box just launched an academy recently, I think last year or something. And they have a certified penetration testing path. And that path is incredible. It covers all kinds of things you'd need to know to start to this journey in pen testing, which is essentially ethical hacking in a sense. And there is also the certified bug bounty hunting path there as well, which you can take if you want to focus on web application pen testing, if you're not so keen on to internal pen tests like on systems, Windows, Linux machines, and so on. And it's not just Hack the Box. There are so many sources like TryHackMe. Then there's TCM Security. They have incredible certifications as well, offering great courses. The courses are really great. They cover everything you have to know for the basics, you know, to start. Now, I'm telling always basics to start with, because there's no way that one course can cover everything that you can learn. And when you start with it, when you get a grasp of how things work and how to hack, at least somewhat, when you get that first job, when you land it, this is when you actually start to really learn, when you do things.
Yes, I wanted to just mention this, and the reason why I asked this question is because people, for some reason or the other, usually expect that there is some kind of a shortcut.
There is no shortcut.
There is. They expect that there is a shortcut to programming. There is a shortcut to becoming a security engineer. There is a shortcut to becoming certified whatever. Mm-hmm. And they are surprised when somebody says, okay, you need to start from Python.
Yeah.
This means that you need to learn how to code at least in the, in intermediate level. Mm-hmm. And then you need to understand a little bit about hardware. Then you need to understand a little bit about software as such. You need to understand architectures, virtualization, networking. Then you start turning attention to CPUs, how memory works, and so on. And suddenly this becomes a big thing. Mm-hmm. And people seem to think that if they are choosing a path that they're going to be following in order to work, that the work itself is not going to be requiring them to prepare themselves. Mm. That for some reason, people think that being able to work in some field is just something you just do. You don't need to prepare. And security is an outlier because you need to have...
The worst example.
Probably the worst, the worst example, because you need to have enormous amount of knowledge in order to be able to be able to be a good part of the team.
Exactly.
Because you cannot be a single person team. You need people with you who are going to be specialists in different things.
Yes.
And this is something that is an answer that nobody likes. Everybody would like to have an answer that says, okay, I need to do, I don't know, this for 12 days. This is the reason why dieting doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. There is no simple solution. It's going to take 5 days and then you're done.
Yeah.
5 years, perhaps. Five, or even more, but 5 days, no.
Yeah, there's no way. It's just, I think, what skewed people's perception on time and how long it takes to be good at something is a lot of either social media or movies or series they've watched, because security...
You mean like hackers?
Yeah, because security professionals, they're like ethical hackers, or let's just take into account Mr. Robot. Even though it's one of the most accurate presentations of how hacking looks like, it still hasn't shown the viewers how he got there. The series is just showing how Elliot Alderson, the main character, is immediately a prodigy at what he does, and he does it so effortlessly. And then people get this idea, I can do this as well. I can get to that point. I'll be like that immediately, you know? I'll just take some courses, and I'll be a security god. You know, it's this kind of mentality. It's funny, and a lot of people tend to walk into that trap of thinking things are really that easy to get into and be that good immediately at it.
Actually, you found a very good starting point for the illusion.
Mm.
Because the Hollywood part of that illusion, there are many movies that you could discuss. There.
Yeah, a lot of them.
It's not necessarily just about the hacking. There are other examples.
Yeah, a lot of things.
Too. Even in the superhero realm, we had a chat about that a couple of times, a couple of years ago. I remember that. I mean, in order to become a superhero, let's say in our metaphor, that is your security, you know, the dude. He or she had to start somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
They had to get trained. They had to spend thousands of hours doing something, getting ready to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, that's the part of the story that is not presented in the movie. Hence, it's a movie.
Yes.
And not the real life. And people projecting movie into real life usually leads to those results that you talked about. Exactly correct.
And it's always going to end up in disappointment, which is sad, because maybe those people have this potential, but they're just constantly...
It's lack of awareness and persistence.
Yeah,
and that's
they're just plastered with finished products. And that finished product is usually people who are so already seasoned.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that people don't understand that most of security is the same as the accounting. It's endless repetition of things that are in the end going to result in some...
burnout, right?
No. They're going to result in something. So there is going to be a result.
Mm-hmm.
But the repetition is going to be there because you need to try and try and try again and try different things and think about different things, because mostly you're going to... you need to be focusing on things that you see in movies, so spectacular ways of hacking into a system.
Yeah.
But the thing that is going to happen first is that you're going to go through a lot of groundwork that is going to be simply mind-bogglingly boring. And then you're going to score some part of the puzzle of how to do something on a specific system.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the colleague of ours that did the password checking of the the pen testing for the institution, people think that when he was talking about how the password should be changed, that it was just something that he came up with on the spot. And they don't realize that he spent something like 60 hours just working on the passwords and hacking the passwords of the people, just to be able to pen test and to try all the possible combinations that he knows of.
Yeah.
And the boring part of the pen testing is something that people are completely oblivious of. And then when they realize that it exists, and when they realize that writing reports also exists, they suddenly realize, okay, this is an actual job.
Yes.
This is not a spectacular way of making money. I need to both be able to produce something, and then I will have to produce something.
And the starting point of that is even more procedural, very much like accounting, which is endless amount of reading.
Oh yeah, I know.
And this is my sticking point with a lot of our students here, mm-hmm. And I keep on trying to explain to them that the dream of security, in terms of them being security experts and whatnot, starts with them opening a book.
Yes.
And then keep on reading the book, and then the next one, and then the next one, and then the security bulletin, then going to various sources of information, which in the past 5 to 10 years have been much more organized than what it used to be. You know, nowadays you can actually get most of the information about the topics of security that you are interested in terms of the latest zero-day attacks, whatever, on a couple of websites, if you know which ones to use. But you have to, you know, make yourself a freaking liter of coffee every mm-hmm. single day and just pound on those articles and advisories and descriptions and whatnot. Otherwise, that doesn't work. No reading, no security expert.
Exactly.
Move on to the next, to something else in your life.
Yeah, a lot of people get disappointed when they ask me how to, you know, start in pen testing or something like that. Just what's a day-to-day like? And I tell them, well, you're probably going to be assigned a project for a week if you're working in consulting, and then you'll have to write a glorious report. What do you mean write a report? You're gonna write what you found. You have to present it. Present it? Yeah, you're gonna talk to your clients. And then they get like, wait, I have to have people skills.
I have
and
to produce
write.
Documents. I have to work projects.
Oh my God.
I have
God.
To use templates. I have to create a PowerPoint presentation.
It's cool all over again. No.
Yeah. No, the biggest thing that always boggles my mind is when they ask, some of the students ask me, do I need to use this template? This template is complicated. It requires me to write both the title and the subtitle and the body of the text. Can I just do a title and the body of the text? No, we are trying to teach you how to create a report because you're going to need them. But who is creating reports?
Everyone.
Everyone who wants to do something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's as backwards approach to reality. Mm. That's the reason why on few of our courses that we did that you also mm-hmm. successfully passed, why we ask you to do documentation in a variety of different ways.
Yes.
Templates with the template, without the template, preconceived template with a lot of rules, a template without many of the mm-hmm. rules built in. Just like writing science papers, all of that is exactly the same type of job. That and reporting to a client and presenting to a client, they're exactly the same thing.
Exactly.
Writing a seminar paper for a college course that you have to do, if it's a bigger one, not a two-page one, of course, mm-hmm. a summary or something, is exactly the same type of job. And that's exactly why we, basically what we did was we whipped you or we drilled you so hard on some of these courses, especially in the undergrad program, let's say on third year. You had enormous amount of these projects
yes.
that you had to do. Some of them we didn't ask you to do the project documentation, some of them we did.
Yes.
And we strategically selected which ones we want the documentation with. Provided with your for the purpose of passing mm-hmm. your exam, some of them not. We also modified a little bit in terms of the, I wouldn't say the weight, I would say the difficulty level of the courses so that you can actually work on multiple mm-hmm. courses in parallel. That's exactly the reason why. That's what happens in the workplace.
Yeah, exactly.
A sane boss or sane manager that you work for, in a sense, is not going to give you 5 projects that take an equal amount of time. It's impossible to manage.
Yeah.
It's possible, but you wouldn't sleep.
Yeah.
And, you know, I heard this rumor that everybody needs some sleep. Unless we're gaming.
We're probably gaming.
But on the other hand, the thing is that people don't understand is that we have something called deliverables. And that usually money is exchanged for deliverables.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So either you are going to be creating a presentation and then some project documentation, or you're going to just be creating some documentation. But almost nobody is going to pay you money based on what you told them mm-hmm. exclusively. This is not a thing that happens. You cannot just upload, I don't know.
No, send an email, I'm done. That's it.
Yeah.
No, or just upload, I don't know, a 32-hour video of, no, 32 hours is too long because attention span of regular people people usually doesn't cover 32 hours, but a speed run of what you did.
So 32-hour fast-forward times 60, yes. 64.
Yeah. And this is because I'm trying to ask questions, but at the same time not be too obvious that I'm annoyed with people who think that security is easy. And
we both are.
But the thing is that not only the people who think security is easy, but the thing that people who think that any part of the DevOps or system operations or whatever is easy. There is always somebody who knows more than you. This is first thing. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is that everything is more complicated than you think.
Yes.
And this is something that people just not seem to understand. I was just listening to a podcast about a maritime disaster, whatever. And then I realized that I know nothing about ships. Mm-hmm. When a person who is actually into ship logistics, he was explaining something, and I understood, realized that I don't know anything. The only thing that we know about ships is that they are just a big hunk of metal that is floating around. Everything else is complete deep magic from my perspective. And this is the same with every other field that I'm not into it.
Exactly, yeah.
And people don't understand this for some reason or the other. And I don't know how to get the point across.
Oversimplification. Yeah. Is an actual thing, as I'm sure you know. And you notice that with, I wouldn't say a lot of your colleagues, but some of them are definitely guilty as charged in that. You know, A, B, laser beam, that's the way in which you learn things. Mm-hmm. You never do.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen because the ideal world doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But you do for a given infinitely small amount between A and B.
Yes.
So if you define your...
Thank you, mathematics guru. Thank you for the integration.
Right. Yes, the thing is that if you define that your goals are going to be that you're going to just take one step forward, yes, you are making progress. Yes, you don't know where you're going.
Yeah.
This is basically it.
Yeah, it's walking in the dark.
Yeah, so this is that me not having a question but just having a rant and trying to pull you into
good
it.
Good today. We are proud of you.
I'm trying to abstain from ranting about Microsoft and security and everything else because
you could do the same with Linux nowadays. It's even worse. No difference whatsoever.
I think that today both Microsoft or Windows and Linux. Are taking a step. Let's go move into forward. Let's see what you think. Let's move into the future. I think that the software bugs are now taking a step back when it comes to people actually discovering that even hardware has bugs and finding out more and more about how hardware works and realizing that they don't know anything about this.
Yeah.
And us harping about it on computer architecture was not in its entirety, but a large part of it was basically, you know, just yelling at the wall. Because I don't remember seeing as many hardware problems that relate to CPU and memory as much I've seen in the past couple of years. It's really difficult to compare that to anything unless we went way, way, way back.
Yeah.
Way, way back, you know.
But it's, I think that way back, the main...
It was much less mature back then.
No, but I think that the main problem when the developers of hardware were facing was how to try to make this hardware even work.
Correct.
And they...
Different design criteria.
Design criteria, if the processor was able to do division correctly, it was a win.
Pentium, yes.
I'm not mentioning names.
I am.
I'm just saying that if the division was doing done correctly, it was a win. If the processor was stable at a given frequency, it was a win. And nobody thought about security back then.
Yeah.
Now they also have to think about security. They need to think about how to make complex systems even more complex.
Yeah.
And it is a losing battle. Because they are now required by the industry to take steps into the security realm, or to take the steps how to secure the hardware. Mm-hmm. At the same time, they are barely keeping up with what they are developing. Mm-hmm. So the hardware is not right now one of the topics that is completely that's extremely interesting to me, but also it's completely off everybody's radar, but also extremely hot. It's a thing.
Yeah. I mean, IoT is also now at the top of being like the hot topic at the moment regarding security, because basically
there is no security.
There's no security. And there's so many smart things, I guess, fridges, brooms, toothbrushes, I don't know, all kinds of things we can imagine. They're becoming smart. Let's just call it that way.
When Philips put a 32-bit ARM processor into a toothbrush, mm-hmm. this was when I realized that this is not going to end well.
No, it's not going to end well, and it didn't.
the joke is that the S in IoT means security. Mm-hmm. So the this is the thing that I always think when I'm thinking about IoT, because and this is one of the things that we should be talking about when people are asking people to trying to promote STEM and trying to make people create something. Mm-hmm. They're happy when somebody makes a thing. So let's create a counter that is going to count how many people went through the door. Or let's create a temperature sensor that is going to be able to tell the temperature over the Wi-Fi or Bluetooth or whatever. And then people suddenly realize, okay, we have created, I don't know, a million devices that are completely unsecure, that are blindly believing in a part of code that wasn't checked by anybody, that was done by middle schooler or even a first grader in his first encounter with the Python, and suddenly this becomes a thing that is available on the market.
Yeah,
how do you solve this? Yes, how do you create reasonably secure devices that are going to be able to popularize them without making it boring and too complicated?
First, what you'd actually need is to invest into hardware that can handle it and the code and everything, that it doesn't freaking break because you just implemented a security feature. That's the problem with IoT, because the memory and all of that, the quality of it would deteriorate just because you install a security patch. So I guess we would first have to focus on that, to deliver actually hardware that can handle all of it. But then it's more costly, so money. You know?
So basically no solution to that.
No.
Okay. it's easy.
An easy answer.
If it costs money, we're not going to implement it, then it's going to be okay.
Yeah. The solution is we're just not going to implement it.
Of course we're not. Find money, exponential growth of that. Yeah, not going to happen.
Not going to happen, no.
Okay, switching gears. I want to ask her something a little bit more related to some of the stuff that she probably did while off from college and in her, let's say, not private life, more professional, but related to stuff that she used to do with her family.
Yeah, she's here. Let's not talk about her in the third, person.
Come on. Stop with the name calling or whatever calling. What would you consider to be your most vivid experience when you were younger in terms of computers?
In terms of computer, well, when my dad showed me how to build one, I guess.
Okay, go on.
That's the first, experience of dealing with actual computer hardware. So he would always be like, okay, let's come here, let's build a computer together. Okay, I'm standing there and I'm looking at him building and not understanding anything, but I'm just, looking at what he's doing. Then he'd slowly start explaining to me, why this goes here, why this goes there, what is this? What is this block of something? What it does? Why do I even need it in my PC? And I'd be like, okay, this is cool. It's not something that's completely of my interest, because that was still I was more interested into all the software stuff that happens. But this is good to know. Come on, continue, I want to know. And then he'd just always, whenever he'd come back to Croatia, he'd just be like, let's build a PC together. It has just become tradition. I don't know why. He just, let's build one.
I know why, and you know now, but yeah. But how many times did that happen?
A lot of times. Every single bloody time.
Just for context, but in one sentence, what does your dad do?
He is a therapist at physiotherapist, and he's leading this neurology, sector of the clinic, and for very disabled patients who had, some kind of very bad accident that they kind of lost control of their body. They can't move. They're just, completely limp. So he's treating them. That's basically what he does. So nothing related to IT. He's just very enthusiastic about it.
No. When he gets home, he has a different patient.
Yeah.
His computer is the patient. That's
what
I'm saying.
His computer is the patient.
Yeah, and you're trying to fix it or upgrade it to be better.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Your dad deserves respect, especially. Now I'm stopping the joke because we could endlessly joke about this, as I'm sure you know. The joke needs to stop because that's actually exactly what I was saying at the beginning. This is what needs to happen for STEM education to be successful, or let's put it this way, IT part of the STEM education to be a successful career path for girls.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly something like that.
Yeah, you just have to be in it, at least somewhat exposed to it from the start. It doesn't have to be when I started, when I was 6, 7. It can be a bit later, but still, you have to have some kind of interest in it. Even if it starts later on, as long as you're interested in it and are willing to put the time into actually learning all of it, you're good. There's nothing else I need to add. You just have to want to learn and enjoy it.
Take a screwdriver.
Yeah, just, drive. Go to the destination. It's waiting for you. It's not gonna go anywhere. And whenever you take the journey, it's fine. Even there are people who switched careers in their 50s. It doesn't matter. As long as you start and you want to do it, you're gonna get there. So,
I love the faith that she has in humanity.
What, am I too optimistic?
No. I'm not saying that you're too optimistic. I'm actually saying that I love the faith that you have. That's it.
Okay.
No preconceived notions.
Sarcasm.
No sarcasm. No nothing. Believe it or not.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I have many, many things to say. Yeah, he's the one.
I'm just going to quietly wait this one out.
No, you're just going to quietly say, mm-hmm.
I'm just going to quietly wait this one out and say that I think that we should finish here for this part because this is this was a great thought for the end.
For the first part.
Because this is the thing that we should be discussing more. And I think that we should do an episode on STEM education as such.
I think we should use her as a guinea pig for that. I think she should
sure.
actually...
I don't like treating other system administrators as
guinea
pigs.
You know
what
I'm saying? And she understands it as
not,
well.
She's not a user.
You are referring to her as she as well. So now, I agree with you, but I have a specific reason why. Okay. Let's close this down for the time being, and then we're going to record another episode that's going to go more deeply into the education side of things. If you
yes.
Okay. Sure thing.
Okay. Thank you for being with us. This was another episode of That IT Show podcast. And yeah, we'll see each other soon. But while that happens, I've been Vedran.
I'm Yasmin.
I'm Anna.
And see you in the next episode.
Bye-bye.
Bye.